race is a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast, where we wrap up the week that was, and we only cover things we've never seen before. Things that are insane. It's insane that I can do this every week. By the way, keep this in front of mind for friends and family when you're running those errands you don't feel like doing on the weekend. Keep the Battleground America podcast on. All right, let's count them down. Insane thing number 7 was the assassination attempt at the White House Correspondents Association dinner in April real or staged by Donald Trump? Astonishingly, just 52% of Americans say it was real. It really happened, with just 31% of Americans saying it definitely happened the way that it was presented. In other words, he was a real assassin. He really tried to kill Trump. Folks, 30% said it was staged. Another 18% weren't sure. That's 48% of Americans that either think it was staged or they're not sure. This is a Fox News poll, folks. And Democrats, 49% of them say it was staged. 31% say it was real. Among Republicans, 79% say it was real. 10% say it was staged. Folks, what this poll really shows us is people's ability to distinguish reality anymore. If we can't agree on what's real, America will become ungovernable. Maybe it already is. But what this shows you in particular, it's a good barometer for the level of absolute delusion on the left. Insane thing number 6. Iran announces they'll start charging tolls in the Strait of Hormuz. Can't say as I blame them. As the situation with negotiations, why we're even negotiating, I don't know, has grown so bizarre that Iran's position's not that far off Trump's. Because Pakistan, you'll remember, asked Donald Trump, hey, could you not do Project Freedom and escort those tankers through? Yeah, could you just leave them foobarred and parked where they are? And Trump said, sure, fine. We'll just, you know, let Iran run around and we won't protect the tankers. No problem. Well, it's not too far of a step from that to Iran charging tolls. Folks, in all these negotiations, in all these 6 weeks, never once has Iran ever agreed to Trump's red line or anything like it, that they'll stop nuclear enrichment, never do it again, at least not for 20 years, and turn over the nuclear fissile material that they have. Basically, we're getting nowhere. And we might as well at least be escorting ships through the strait while we're wasting time. All of it, by the way, with $4 a gallon gas for no damn reason. But that wasn't the insane part this week. And folks, it's like the Iran war was going gloriously. It's like somebody took the Trump that was running it about 6 weeks ago, body snatched him and replaced him with someone else. But folks, this to me is the most insane part of all this week with Iran negotiations. We finally found out one of the people that J.D. Vance and Trump's stepson, Jared Kushner, have been negotiating with. His name is Ahmad Vahidi, and he was one of the architects of the 1994 Khobar Towers terror attack. In fact, one of the key logistical planners behind it. It killed 19 U.S. service members. And all I can think on this Memorial Day weekend, as we honor those who've made the ultimate sacrifice, was, wait, so if we're negotiating with him, I take it we know where he is? Why is he alive? By the way, that's not the entirety of his murderous resume. He's currently an IRGC commander. Those are the people that killed the 42,000 street protesters. But I'm sure we can totally trust these people. What the heck, folks? I got to tell you what. If Obama and Biden were doing this, I'd lose my damn mind. I mean, I'd be screaming and yelling on this podcast. You'd be screaming and yelling at the radio. I mean, I don't even know what to do anymore. This week, four-star General Jack Keane looked twice into the camera directly. I know what he's doing. He's talking to Trump. He knows Trump watches Fox News, and said, we have to kill them. As in, we've got to kill the 12 or mullahs. There aren't a lot of them. It'd be easy to kill them. Then we actually can move forward. He even begged Trump, listen, most of the bombing, a lot of Americans don't know this, most of the bombing that's been done from the air here in this campaign wasn't us. A lot of people think it was. It was Israel. And so, I mean, he begged Trump, listen, if you don't want to do it, great. Just let Israel do it. They'd love to do it. In fact, Israel even announced this week, and that's why they announced this. Hey, listen, we have a list of every single person that was involved in the October 7th attacks, including everyone in the Iranian government who did logistics, financial support. They did training for it and funding. We got it all. Hey, let us take them out. Trump won't. Why? Well, maybe there is a logical answer. Remember a few weeks ago when Democrat traitor Senator Mark Kelly volunteered to the world and the Iranians, who he was clearly trying to help, get one up on his own country because, hey, they're Democrats, that we had a critical deficit in missile and munition stockpiles that would take years to replace. He's on the Senate Armed Services Committee, and he'd gotten the classified briefing specifically geared toward the Iran war. And he claimed that U.S. magazines for key munitions, so Patriot rounds, Tomahawks, Attackums, SM-3 interceptors, so it's the missiles and the interceptors, had been severely drained, saying it would take years to replenish. Well, Pete Hegseth fired back at him and called for him to be investigated, which tells me that what Kelly was saying was true, that he actually heard that in a classified setting. But then later, Hegseth was under oath, was asked about it, and he said, no, we had plenty. That means he could possibly face perjury charges. So I don't know, somebody broke the law here between the two of them. You should know this about Mark Kelly. The reason he would believe that he could just tell the public in Iran whether we had missiles or not is because the setting is Washington, D.C., and liberal courts so far have refused to indict Democrat senators and Congress members, for things that they're seeing that are illegal. After all, 92% of the jury pool voted for Kamala Harris, and he's probably betting that if they bring charges, a grand jury won't indict, and he can get away with publicly telling Iran the truth. So which is it? Well, stunning Senate hearing yesterday, the Secretary of the Navy was being grilled on why Trump was putting a hold on weapon sales to Taiwan. The Navy Secretary told senators that they have to, quote, make sure we have the munitions we need for epic fury, but we have plenty. Wait, what? Then he said, we're just making sure we have everything we need. You don't know that? Wait, huh? Asked by Senator Mitch McConnell if he expects the sale to be approved at some point, the Naval Secretary said that would be up to Pete Hegseth, to which McConnell said, yeah, that's what's really distressing. In other words, the fact that it's not going through is distressing me. Like, what is the situation with our missiles? Now, last week, Trump claimed that the reason that he had put it on hold was to defer to China to try to get this deal done. What is the truth? I don't know, but if we're out of or running low on munitions, say maybe we wouldn't have enough for Iran and to defend Taiwan, that would actually make everything you're seeing with these ridiculous delays make sense. In fact, I'd be really relieved that Trump wasn't serious about the deal, because this deal is awful. It sets Iran up with everything that it needs to go forward and retaliate. And folks, the retaliation will be brutal. I mean, these are the people who launched a long-range missile, a nuclear-capable missile. It didn't have the nuke on it, but it was nuclear-capable at our base in Diego Garcia, which had troops on it at the time. And remember, they said they didn't have that long range of a missile, and they did. They lied about it. So, folks, I can't imagine what the retaliation would be like, but I can guarantee you a lot of Americans will die. So you can't leave these people in place and just say, hey, I cut a deal. That's just, they're not going to comply with any deal. So to me, if it's just the munitions we're out of, that actually is a relief that Trump's not, quite frankly, lost his mind when it comes to Iran. Now, the bad part of that is the other Trump admission that I played for you in last week's Battleground America podcast, where Trump flat out said, yeah, we got 70% of the critical targets. We didn't get the other 30. They also didn't get the leadership. Insane thing number five. The pure homicidal lunacy of the Democrat Party tilts in a decidedly Nazi direction. Now, just to be clear, they are not in favor of bad Nazis like, you know, Donald Trump. Just nice Nazis. There's apparently a difference. Lunatic Democrat congressional candidate Maureen Galindo last week said that what she really wanted to do was turn ICE facilities, which of course we won't be using anymore, we're going to have total open borders, repurpose them essentially as concentration camps. She wants to put Zionists in them, she says, and she also wants to do castrations there of pedophiles, most of whom are Zionists, she says. That wasn't the stunning part. No, the stunning part was the Democrat leadership's response to that. Democrat leaders on the Hill, like House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, indeed Triple C Chair Susan Delbene, were quick to condemn the statement, disqualifying, beyond the pale, no place in American politics. But did they call for her to drop out? No. Did they demand she drop out? No. Their silence on that was pretty much deafening, probably because she's in first place. She's actually in the runoff right now in the primary. Well, that caused two Jewish Democrats, the only two Democrats to reject the fact, object to the fact that the leadership is not calling for this woman to step down. Representatives Josh Gottheimer and Jared Moskowitz, both Jews, said that they will force a vote to expel her every single day until she is expelled. That's glaring, since the leadership has no plans to do that and also has not said that they wouldn't swear her in. This is where we are in the Democrat Party, folks. Why might Maureen Galindo have said what she said? Well, she's watching Graham Plattner, a guy who started the campaign not just with a Nazi tattoo, understand this, a full-on SS Totenkopf. In other words, not just a Nazi symbol, that'd be bad enough, but the symbol of the brutal, deadly police force that the Nazis used to terrorize the population. Remember, this lunatic is running for Senate in Maine. He's the now only Democrat candidate because the other candidate, the popular governor, Janet Mills, also a Democrat, dropped out once he hit 60%. Now, here's what's so stunning. Chuck Schumer and the Democrats spent $6 million trying to take out Plattner, bringing up his anti-Semitic statements, bringing up his Nazi tattoo, even bringing up his racist statements and his sexist statements, saying that if women get raped, they probably did something, you know, to precipitate it. And he only got more popular. The more that they ran the ads, the more popular he got. And he came back and defended himself by saying he was a card-carrying communist, which apparently wipes all this away. So just to be clear, Democrats are totally cool, at least the base is anyway, with running actual Nazis. In fact, it kind of helps. So folks, if you look at this and their experience trying to take out Plattner, but only making him more popular once it was found that he's a Nazi or appears to be or has some affiliation with that, folks, I think they're afraid of their base, and they should be. Democrats, when it comes to rhetoric, just don't know where to stop. They really don't. They go right over the edge, and they've so weaponized their base, they've become physically dangerous to them. Let me give you an example of this. This resurfaced poll from right after Luigi Mangione murdered UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. In it, 68% of self-described liberals said they had at least some sympathy for Thompson. No, I'm joking. They don't care. For Mangione, the murderer. Let me repeat that. 68% of liberals said they had at least some sympathy for Mangione, and 31% of liberals said they had a lot of sympathy. 35% of liberals said they not only sympathized with Mangione, but specifically supported his decision to murder Thompson. What happens if you're in Democrat leadership and you don't conform to what these people want? Could you get Mangione'd? Guarantee it's crossed their minds. Folks, they have lost control of their base, as I've told you many times before, which has succumbed to a full-on Marxist revolution. And it's frightening to watch. Folks, watching Democrats free and ultimately celebrate the most violent criminals on earth, you gotta wonder, how far are these people actually willing to go? I mean, they let in thousands of sex offenders from all over the world, sex offenders who were illegal immigrants, some of whom rapists, child sex predators, were on the run from the law in their countries. Remember, made them sign a little piece of paper promising to get counseling and then let them use that piece of paper as their ID to fly on planes with unsuspecting Americans. These are the same Democrats that let in 18,000 people on the international or FBI terror watch lists. They didn't even bat an eye. So it makes you wonder, crime-wise, what are Democrats capable of? What is the left capable of? Folks, we've gotten to the point where the more violent you are, the more popular you are with them, whether you're committing political violence or you're just a criminal. Well, folks, look to Europe to see where they'll go next, because they always follow along with whatever the leftists there are doing. And you get an answer to the question, what are they capable of tolerating? And it's jaw-dropping. Do you remember the Bataclan terror attack in France, where multiple facilities were hit all at once in a joint ISIS attack with multiple Muslim attackers? Yeah, you know, 129 people died. Well, the details of that were hidden by the French government for a long time. Not the number that died, that was out there immediately, but the absolute brutality of it. Pregnant women stabbed to death as they were raped, stabbed in their stomach. Men with their testicles cut off and jammed down their throats, their faces ripped off, people's eyes gouged out. I mean, an absolute horror show. They found beheaded individuals. Folks, these are just civilians. Well, the French government managed to hide that for almost a year from the public, because they obviously wanted to be taking even more Muslim immigrants, and they didn't want people to be afraid because, of course, they vote socialist and left wing. So you know how that goes. OK, so we're talking about not just a massive coordinated attack, but absolute, total, just senseless brutality. 129 dead. Well, the mastermind behind that mess, brutal jihadist savage Mohamed Bakali, was eventually sentenced to life in prison. No, just joking. They're European liberals. No, he only got 30 years for killing 129 people brutally. But that's not where this story ends. Remember, we're answering the question, how far will the left go with suicidal empathy? Well, they had him serve the sentence out in Brussels, because that's where he got his citizenship after emigrating. Well, in Brussels, you only have to serve a third of your sentence. You're seeing where this is going, right? Yeah, it's been about 10 years. And the world was shocked this week to learn they've been letting him out on furlough for days at a time in preparation for, yes, no, you're thinking no, 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 oh yes, in preparation for his release, because he continues to display, quote, calm and good behavior, unquote. Of course he does. He wants to get out and do it again. Again, this gives you some idea of what the depraved left is capable of and how far exactly their tolerance goes, as long as the right people, i.e. the right voters, are killing the wrong people, which is everybody else. Folks, thinking back on that J.D. Vance speech and a similar Trump speech about how Europe is destroying itself, you can't help but think, this is Exhibit A. And folks, it's exactly where the American left will go if we let them. Insane thing number three. Insane thing number three. This was the week that Trump finally washed his hands of the Uniparty. For years, he's been endorsing people who hate him, hate us, would like to see America's borders open and want to do nothing more than sit around and capitulate to the Democrats. You know, the Bush crowd that I warn you about a lot. They're an absolute cancer on American politics. In fact, Jerry Moonbeam Brown, remember, former very liberal governor of California, once warned, it was one of his final interviews that he did, and it was actually during the John McCain, Mitt Romney era. He was asked, you know, what he feared the most in the future. At the time, he was probably the most noted liberal politician in the country. And he said his biggest fear was that the Republican Party would continue capitulating to the Democrats instead of fighting them. He was afraid of his party's worst impulses. He was afraid they'd go too far. We're literally living that right now with John Thune in the U.S. Senate. And Trump has always endorsed these people, John Cornyn types, John Thune, Mitch McConnell, all of them, helping them to defeat truly America First conservative challengers, largely, I think, out of fear. One of the best examples in this election cycle is Lindsey Graham, who is the budget chairman. And so if Trump doesn't endorse him, Lindsey Graham can literally chop block his entire agenda. And Trump got the promise to endorse Lindsey a year ago. In other words, as his big, beautiful bill was going through that contained his entire agenda. Yeah, well, the Senate, being evil and full of Bush-era rhinos, still slow-walked the big, beautiful bill for over 6 months, finally passing it when they had to. Well, Trump finally had enough this week. And keep in mind, folks, Trump is the only president since the founding to have his nominees blocked by his own party. John Thune even goes so far as when they go, he's the majority leader, when they go on vacation to gavel the Senate back in every 3 days to block Trump's appointments. That way, they can keep him as leverage to force him to do or not do things that they want. Well, that's the level of evil, and Trump's never stood up to them, never criticized them the way he has people like Ralph Norman or Chip Roy, who had really legitimate arguments that we were spending too much. Trump brutalized them. It's always been kind of unfair, I've thought. So it was great to see Trump finally say uncle and push the bully's boot off his neck this week. Here's what went down, and it's actually fascinating. Months ago, the story broke that Trump was going to endorse Cornyn, an absolute disaster, who in 2023, still a few years away from having to run in a Republican primary, racked up a devastating 43% freedom score. Folks, that's not much higher than a Democrat. It's an F grade. This is a guy who has supported various Muslim radical activist groups, open borders groups. I mean, he is an absolute open borders globalist zealot. There's no two ways about it. And he has a history of stabbing Trump in the back. He's also secondhand man to John Thune. They didn't think Trump would dare. Well, Ken Paxton was running against Cornyn. And just as Trump was about to endorse Cornyn, Paxton put out probably the most brilliant political strategy tweet of all time. I mean, folks, I can't think of anybody else who's ever done anything smarter. He said, okay, listen, this race is costing millions of dollars. Me in Texas in the primary versus Cornyn. How about this? I'll drop out if you pass the SAVE Act. All John Thune has to do is pass the single most important piece of legislation for the future of America. Because remember, it requires folks to have to present a valid ID to register and to vote. But the most important part, it forces Democrat states to finally turn over their voter rolls so we can get the fake, the illegal immigrant, the dead voters off of them. But we can also see how many of them have voted and who they are. It would be like a roadmap to past election fraud. Well, John Thune's blocked that for 300 days, wouldn't even let it out of committee. Well, Paxton said, fine, you know, we don't have to waste money, on this massive primary that we could be spending defeating Democrats. No, we'll just, I'll drop out. Just pass the SAVE Act. That's what I want. Well, that boxed Trump in and forced him to have a backbone. He also said to Trump in the tweet, and I love this, hey, dude, don't give away your endorsement for nothing. Get something for it. Well, Trump had no choice then. And so he had to withhold his endorsement from Cornyn. Now, keep in mind, John Thune, the evil leader of the Senate, has spent millions of dollars in the primary trying to beat Paxton with Cornyn to keep the Bush uniparty in charge of the Senate. And what they're hoping is that when Trump's gone, they will retake control of the Republican Party, merge with Democrats, and we'll live in some kind of weird dictatorship. Anyway, so shock ensued. But Caroline Wren on the Battleground podcast absolutely nailed why Trump finally did it. The Bush globalist rhino wing made a critical mistake. They just went too far.
The only people that were lobbying for a Cornyn endorsement were other GOP senators. And in the last 72 hours, the GOP senators had come out against President Trump on several things. They told him we're not passing the Save America Act. We're not going to nuke the filibuster. We're not going to fund your ballroom. The weaponization fund's a bad idea. And we're not going to fire the parliamentarian. And that's why, you know what? Trump, I think, just said, screw you guys. Like, I've asked you for several things over the last, even week, months. You haven't gotten any of it done. And now every story, see today is how, the Senate Republicans are going to obstruct President Trump's midterm agenda now because they're angry at him. I'm like, Okay, what are they going to do? Not pass the Save America Act? Not do recess appointments? Not nuke the filibuster? Not fund the ballroom? Not fire the parliamentarian? Because spoiler alert, they've already done that. So I don't really know the agenda that they are now going to block that they weren't already blocking.
Now here's what's really nuts. John Thune, of course, threw a massive temper tantrum. And the bill that was supposed to be on Trump's desk by June 1, you know, the one that funds Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Patrol, and ICE, that bill, because remember they did that compromise with the Democrats. Okay, we'll fund the TSA and everything else, but we're leaving out funding for Customs and Border Patrol. We're leaving out funding for the TSA and several other things. Yeah, they were supposed to come back, pass that separately, and get it to Trump's desk by June 1st. Well, to screw Trump and national security, John Thune said to heck with it and called a vacation, sent everybody home. So they're going to miss the June 1st fundraising deadline for that. Now, the good news is that ICE is, in fact, funded through 2028, but not fully funded. It's kind of like a skeleton crew funding. All of the additional extras still need to be funded. And the whole idea was that Thune and the crowd, they were going to fund them like basically everything, a busted out budget through 2028, even 2029, parts of it. And folks, we really do need Customs and Border Patrol funded. And we can't just have open borders. Maybe we can. I don't know. So now the question is this. When Thune gets back, will he fund this stuff? Or is he going to join the Democrats? Just let it hang and we just, I guess, won't have Customs and Border Patrol. Because, folks, they not only secure the border, and we do have the military on the border, but we rely on Customs and Border Patrol. And they not only do all of the customs stuff, but keep in mind, there's a huge police force. They're rounding up illegal immigrant criminals. And I'm almost wondering if Thune is just going to refuse to pass any of this to get what he really wants, which is ultimately what the Bushes and Karl Rove want, which is what their donors want that make them so powerful. That's open borders, absolute unaccountability for whoever walks across our borders. It's giving Thune actually the perfect excuse to go, hey, you know, I just don't have the votes for this. So bad. So sorry. I guess we'll have to have open borders. Too bad. Do not be surprised if he does this, folks. They are true open borders zealots. That's why they were recruited by Rove and Papa Bush. Insane thing number two. Insane thing number two. Wisconsin, one of the states that Donald Trump's currently suing, he's suing all of the Democrat states to get them to turn over their food stamp rolls. Those are federal benefits, welfare benefits, but they are signed up for and administered at the state level. Well, when the Republicans turned over their food stamp rolls, they found over 300,000 illegal immigrant households were receiving illegally food stamps, and they were ultimately removed. The second tranche went up to almost 700,000. I mean, that's massive theft from the American people. And those are just in the Republican states. Can you imagine what it's like in the sanctuary Democrat states where they routinely break the law as just a typical practice? Well, they've been fighting it out in court, but Trump managed to get a hold of Wisconsin's rolls. Yes, that state went red, but the two officials in charge are elected Democrats, so they've been hiding it. And guess what? That thing, which was never supposed to happen, happened. We found so far, and they're still trolling through them, over 7,000 households, non-citizen households, illegally getting food stamps. Folks, I have a feeling this is going to be massive when we get the numbers from all the states, and we will eventually get the numbers from all the states. Insane thing number one. Independent investigative reporter Nick Shirley was right. The entire liberal mainstream media, wrong. Bunch of liars. As the owner of the daycare in that viral Nick Shirley video, the one that did over 200 million views and counting on X, was charged in a $4.6 million daycare fraud scheme. Now, remember what the mainstream media actually said at the time. Shirley was wrong. He was peddling misinformation. He was a terrible racist. All of that. In fact, remember CNN hilariously actually went so far as to call up the son's owner at the Quality Learing Center and ask him, hey, you know, is this true? You committing fraud? He said, there's no fraud going on whatsoever. Ibrahim Ali who identified himself as a manager and the son of the owners. He said Shirley's video was taken before business had opened for the day. That's why the kids weren't there. Based entirely on the word of one man, the mainstream media, led by CNN, absolutely blistered Nick Shirley, said it was misinformation, and moved on. They were just indicted. Turns out, taking somebody's word for whether they're committing fraud is probably not a great journalistic strategy, but made sense to the mainstream media because all they do is lie. Anyway, that's not the beautiful part. No, the beautiful part is Nick Shirley tweeting everything the lying mainstream media said about him. That was just proven wrong. Nick Shirley tweets, CBS News said there was no evidence of fraud. The New York Times said the Somali community was being targeted because of their race. CNN said there was little evidence. Governor Tim Walz said it was white supremacy to expose fraud. Today, he writes, 90 million busted and 15 charged. It was all fraud and they all knew. He continues, simply writing, told you. Mainstream media is more mad at me than they are at the fact that billions of your taxpayer dollars were stolen and used for fraudulent business. I am not the enemy of the people. They are. That must feel really good. Anyway, folks, I told you a while ago that Elon Musk confessed to Joe Rogan that Doge is still up and running. It's just kind of secret. And in the background, you also have J.D. Vance's fraud committee doing their work as well. Just some of the stunning numbers coming out this week. Senator John Kennedy, $1.1 trillion in fraud over the last decade just from Medicaid. Senator Joni Ernst with another figure out from the fraud effort of the Trump administration, $1.4 billion a day combined across the federal government in fraud. That is what they're finding. Folks, that adds up to, what, $511 billion a year? That's half a trillion dollars. I mean, that's simply stunning. And when you're looking at numbers that big a year, folks, I'm telling you, the banks have to be in on the wire fraud. I mean, there's no way that's not tripping massive banking algorithms. In other words, there's a massive conspiracy here to hide this. I mean, you just cannot move that amount of money through our banking system. I mean, folks, we have major corporations in this country don't do those kind of revenues a year. So this whole thing is, I mean, it's got to be a massive cartel pulling this off. It can't just be politicians and fraudsters. This has got to show up somewhere to move that amount of money, especially when, folks, another stat from this week from Dr. Oz. Do you realize a third of the federal hospice care spending in the entire country is in L.A. County? They've suspended 800 providers. And he says, listen, they're not even objecting. They're just going quietly away because they know they committed fraud. They're not going to bring attention to themselves. So stunning stats like that this week. And this one really brings it home that this isn't an oopsie. The Democrats were doing this on purpose, turning off fraud controls. Here's Small Business Association head under Trump, Kelly Loeffler, talking about how the Biden administration deliberately made fraud possible. She said the Biden administration ordered their staff to ignore the U.S. Treasury's do not pay list for grants, and 70% were flagged for fraud when they were sent to these particular groups. They did nothing about it. Why? Because the fraud's the plan. That's how $14 billion got out the door so quickly, she said.
This is actually policy for Democrats. This is the allowance of fraud. They knew what was happening. They knew that they were not going to check Treasury's do not pay list because two-thirds of them would have been flagged on the do not pay list. And then they ordered SBA employees to only take 4 hours per applicant and not take any more time and get those applications through. That's how $14 billion got out the door so quickly. And then we come to find out in the GAO report that 70% of it was fraudulent.
Folks, I could play you an audio clip like that from every single day this week with massive multi-billion dollar fraud disclosures. That's how fast this is coming out. It's like a fire hose. But I heard something from an Epoch Times podcast that kind of made it all make sense. Maybe this is bigger than massive grift and theft. And folks, I want to make a prediction. I want to tie two stories together. You know how ActBlue, all of their top leadership resigned and then their lawyers resigned? The lawyer saying, look, we told everyone that they were, you know, this is fraudulent money coming in and they wouldn't stop taking it. So, you know, it's crime. We just resigned. Folks, remember the other stories of how billions of dollars has come into ActBlue, the Democrat nerve center for fundraising for the whole Democrat Party? And remember the stories of, you know, individuals donating 15,000 times in donations of like, you know, $1.50, $2, and then conservative activists going to their homes and saying, why are you doing this all day long, you know, donating to the Democrat Party? And they're like, no, I've never donated to the Democrat Party. Folks, I think they're laundering this money back in to their systems. And I think that's where it's going to end. That's where we're going to find it when we go down the money trail, that a lot of it's been laundered back into the Democrat Party, if only we have enough time to pull all of it off. But I want to end with the Epoch Times take on what's going on with this fraud, that it's more than just large-scale theft by a party that, quite frankly, is more of a criminal cartel.
The amount of fraud being found in the United States is staggering. And this is not just a problem of crime. It's a problem so severe that it may be achieving, whether intentionally or not, a strategy to actually destabilize the country, to intentionally drain its resources, and to eventually force changes that Americans would otherwise never accept. I'm of course talking about the Cloward-Piven strategy. And if you aren't familiar with that, then get ready, because this could actually explain many of the problems we're watching unfold.
Terra Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.